Welcome to the Abracadam Podcast. I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician, Danny Whitson. I hope my Abracadamans had a good week this week. I had a good week. I'm a little tired. Me and Antoinette were on the road all day yesterday. We had to travel to Middle Tennessee. I had to get some new headshots done by the very talented Pamela Clater. She is a fantastic photographer. If you get a chance, check her out on Facebook. Then we stopped and ate some delicious Filipino food at the Taste of Philippines, and I think that's in All Good, Tennessee. I think right outside of Cookeville. Then we had to head down to Ootowah, Tennessee, down by Chattanooga. Antoinette had to pick something up, and I had the joy of having a conversation with a total stranger about cancel culture. So that's always fun. So, something I wanted to talk about that I didn't get to mention a couple weeks ago that happened to me is that I had an experience with a UFO. I was the only one that saw it, so I haven't told anyone about this. I think this is actually the first time I've even mentioned it right here, so here you go, folks. I was out for a jog, and I saw something flying in the sky. I wasn't really sure what it was, but then I noticed it started getting close to me, almost like it was watching me. And it got closer and closer to where I 100% knew it was coming right at me. I didn't really have time to react or even get scared for that, you know, for that fact. But as it got closer, it flew right in my mouth. So now there's a chance that it was a bug and not a UFO or an alien, because there are a lot of bugs out there where I run at. It's woods. So and it was very small, like a bug. So there's a good chance it was a bug. But it could have been alien. We don't really know. So I could have aliens inside me. But it's probably not still in there, because that was a couple weeks ago. But anyways, there's that story. There's that story. I'm also, I'm thinking about getting a neck tattoo on my thigh. I just don't know whose awesome neck I want to get tattooed on my thigh. Okay. Well, today's episode is brought to you by Rosie Tattoos. Custom tattoos designed to suit your style in a friendly and clean environment. I've been getting my tattoos done by Rosie for a while now, and I couldn't recommend anyone else because she does excellent work. As a matter of fact, I got an appointment to see Rosie here in just a few weeks, and I cannot wait to get my ink therapy done, baby. Rosie gets free consultations by Facebook Messenger, Instagram, or by email. Shoot her an email at rosietattoos@yahoo.com. Give Rosie a call today at 865-281-3451 or go see Rosie at 5710 Kingston Pike, Knoxville, Tennessee. Get your ink therapy done. You know you want a tattoo. Go see Rosie Tattoos. This episode is also brought to you by Will's Towing. Located at 2081 Oak Ridge Turnpike, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Now, guys, no one likes to be broke down on the side of the road. It's awful. It sucks. But don't panic. If this does ever happen, give Will Roberts a call at 865-272-5300 and let Will Roberts take care of your towing needs. Will will come pick it up, and he will park that car anywhere you need him to park it. If you want that car set in your living room, Will will put it in your living room. Also, we've all seen those tow truck drivers that show up and they look kind of sketch, you know, like they may have been touching a possum before they came up to you. You know what I mean? One of those guys. You never have to worry about that at Will's Towing. Everybody who works at Will's Towing is clean, safe, and very friendly to deal with. So if your car breaks down, you need a towing service at all, give Will Roberts a call at Will's Towing. That's 865-272-5300. All right, Abracadamits. Today's guest is a dear friend of mine. She's a very funny stand-up comedian. I had the pleasure of working with her a few months back in Charlotte, North Carolina, and she is just a thrill to talk to. I really enjoy talking with her. I know she's got something coming out on, I think, Amazon Prime. So you definitely want to check that out after this podcast. And you definitely want to check out her comedy, and I promise you will laugh. So if you will, abracadamets, sit back and relax and enjoy my fun conversation with stand-up comedian Jazz Gill.
All right, we got Jazz Gill here. How you doing today, Hi. Jazz?
Hi, everyone. I'm just great and dandy. How about yourself?
Doing good, doing good. It's been a long week, but a good week. It's been a good week. How about you?
It has, and today was even better because they thought they were shutting school down for weather, and it's been a beautiful day outside, so I'm extremely happy.
Shutting the school down for weather, is it, what, tornadoes?
Yes, they thought we were going to have, like, severe tornado warnings. But by the time they canceled school last evening, and today we had light showers. That was it. So school was canceled.
Now, is that normal in South Carolina for them to cancel for tornadoes?
South Carolina does not play when it comes to weather. Like, they'll shut down school for almost anything. We have had school shut down a couple times for bad storms, expected storms, and the day of, absolutely nothing happened. So it's not new in South Carolina.
See, in my town, man, and they do it a lot more now. But back in my day at Oak Ridge High School, Oak Ridge Schools, Oak Ridge, Tennessee, they didn't shut down for nothing. Nothing. An asteroid could be about to hit the planet. We would be in school. Everybody around us would be out, but we'd be in school. But no, that's crazy because, I mean, you know, we get some of those crazy storms, you know, too, that come right through here. But I haven't seen it yet to where they've canceled school for it.
Yeah, school was canceled today, so. It's cool for me because I don't have any kids.
I don't know, man. I've always thought, like, I don't think I could live somewhere. Like, can you imagine what it'd be like living, like, Oklahoma or Kansas, place like that?
No. Mm-mm. I wouldn't even want to live in Florida, like, with all the hurricanes. And I don't live anywhere where natural disaster likes to come visit frequently.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine what that's like. I think, you know, I'm in not a bad spot. And South Carolina really isn't that bad either, you know. So, yeah.
It's not bad. But when Mother Nature comes, she shows her tail.
Gosh, and especially these days. It's very bad these days.
He has been showing out.
You know, that's one of my biggest fears as an entertainer is doing on the road on the way to a gig and then like a damn tornado hit or something while you're on the interstate or something. That'd be awful.
Yeah, one of the few traveling fears as a comedian. Like, I'm traveling the road. You just want people to be safe. You just want to make it to your destination. You don't want anyone acting a fool at the show. There's so many other things, like, we're thinking about, and we're just like, and on top of that, we're trying to entertain you strangers. Like, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, here, I totally forgot. I should have went ahead and, Jazz, if you don't mind, will you please introduce yourself to the listeners?
All right, no problem. Hello, everyone. My name is Jazz. I'm a comedian from the Greenville, South Carolina area. I have been doing comedy coming up on 5 years, and it has been a journey, like one of the best things ever. I enjoy it so much. I just love entertaining folks and just making people laugh and giving people that quick escape. So comedy is one thing I feel like I'm doing right in my life. So.
Well, I totally agree. I think you are doing right. And I had a pleasure of doing a show with you. I think it was it June, last June? We got to work together. It was summertime, right?
Yeah. June or September. One of the two.
That was a fun show. That was a fantastic show. So let me ask you, what got you interested in comedy? What made you choose stand-up comedy, Jazz Gill?
Okay, so I actually, you know, your whole life people are always telling you, oh my gosh, you're so funny and stuff like that. And you're just like, okay. But when I was 21, one day I was like, you know what? I'm going to try stand-up comedy. And so me and I have three sisters, we all got in my car and we drove to Columbia and we were going to find the comedy house and I was going to do open mic. We could not find it at all. We ended up going to a bar and just drinking the night away. And I totally forgot about comedy for the next 5 years. It wasn't until 2016. I was 26 years old and I was working 3 jobs at the time. And I was like, life has to consist of more than working, just straight working. And I remember asking my mom, constantly, like, Mom, what am I supposed to be doing here? Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And she's like, I don't know either, Jazz. And I'm just like, I have to find something to do. And like one day something just was like, Google open mics to see if Greenville has any open mics. Cause you know, comedy scenes are there, but if you don't know about them, you don't know they exist. So I Googled an open mic and July 11th, 2016 was my first time stepping on stage and I have not looked back since.
That is awesome. And you're doing a fantastic job. You're a very funny stand-up comedian.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Coming from you, that means a lot to me.
No, you are. I really enjoyed your stuff. So right now in Greenville, you mentioned the comedy scene. So is it kind of like you and Brandon are kind of like the because every comedy scene kind of like has the guru, you know, who's the guru right now in that scene?
Oh, I'm no one's guru. And it's weird because people come up to me and they're like, can you mentor me? And I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing myself. Like, I'm one of those people, I want to see everyone make it, whether you make it before me, the same time, after, like, I want to see everyone make it. So any advice that I could give to anybody, like, I'm more than willing, any conversations we could have. I do know people, like, look up to me, but in my eyes, it's like, why y'all doing it? Like, it's weird. I don't know. Brandon Rainwater, Tom Emmons, Scooter Fowler, Jarrell Williams, they're like so many people that I go to and I ask questions and I try to learn from and just, you know, get information from in the area because Craig Holcomb, Carrie Adams, Robin Scott, Lauren, there's so many other people who have been doing it and are more underground and they have some of the best advice that, you know, you can get from people. So I'm just regurgitating things that I have experienced or heard from other comedians and I just want to see everybody up top. I know people look up to us, but it's just like, girl, we just trying to figure it out. Just like y'all are, like, confused. So,
Craig and Tom, I haven't seen either one of those guys in a while, but yeah, fantastic comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They both, like, when I first started, Craig, oh gosh, I was like, Craig is the best thing since sliced bread when I first started. Like, his energy, his style, the way he like went off the audience is high. Just, it's very admirable to see people just bring something new to the stage. And you know, like when you're first starting, your eyes are so big and like, you're like starstruck by everyone. And still 5 years later, like I learned a lot from so many people, so many comics, and not just the Greenville area, Charlotte, Asheville, I've learned so much from so many comics. And it's just like anything that helped me, I'm more than willing to pass on in hopes that it could help somebody else.
Well, you're definitely in a good spot. Or you know, there's a lot of talent out there in your area. So that's super cool. You know, we had talked about this because, you know, we had talked about this before and I kind of remember something. I do. I remember a conversation that we had and you told me about this, but you definitely got to tell this for the podcast. Now, you know, on the Abracadam, we always have people talk about a hell gig that they did.
Yep.
Let's hear that hell gig story. Let's go for it. Let's hear it. I remember a trailer is what I remember something about a trailer.
Oh, the Trap House trailer. The Trap House trailer. Okay. The Trap House trailer. So I have this guy, his name is Ryan Rubin. He brands himself as Jersey's biggest scumbag. So he's like, Jazz, I got a show for us to do. It's going to be rocking and we're going to kill it. And so I'm like, okay, Ryan, let's go do it.
Now, here, hold on. So I'm assuming that's what he sounds like right there.
Yes.
You said he's from Jersey?
Yes, Jersey. He's a Jersey.
All people from Jersey sound like that, don't they?
The only way they allow you to leave Jersey is if you sound like you're representing Jersey when you go to other states. That's the only way they allow you to leave. Other than that, you have to stay. But yeah, he called me. He was so excited. He was like, I have a show. It's supposed to be like a dank and paint party. And I'm just like, okay. So we get there. First off, the show is in the country of Georgia. And when I say country, I mean backwoods country. Black people nerve, okay? Like it was a lot going on. So we're in the car driving and we pull up and it is no lie, like a two-story trailer. And I'm just like,
two-story?
A trailer with steps. I have never seen a trailer with steps in it in my whole 31 years of living. But we get there and there's a whole bunch of people standing around just drinking, having a good time, associating and stuff. And it was around Christmas time because there was a huge Christmas tree in the living room. And we was like, no TV, no nothing. Like, you got to entertain yourself when you come here. And so we went and we performed and we ate them up. Like, it was a great show. And when we got done, the guy was like, if I bring y'all out, will y'all bring some different jokes next time? And I'm like, sir, we are in a trailer. Even if I do bring my same jokes, we are in a trailer, okay? Let's not be picky. So, yeah, I actually went back a couple weeks ago. Some of my comedic friends were performing there and they was like, oh my God, she's back. She's gonna perform again. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm just here to support fellow comedians. It was a show that will go down in history as like one of my what's the segment called? Hell gigs.
Yes.
And it's never a black and white thing because it was like mixed people. It was a mixed room, black and white. But it was an older white woman in there named Barbara. And I feel like behind the scenes, some illegal stuff probably was going on.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, as soon as the cops come in here, I'm with Barbara. They are not arresting an older white woman holding the camera. I'm with her. I'm with Barbara if anything pops off. Oh, we were. That was a show. Like, that was...
It's crazy where they will literally do comedy shows anywhere. People don't know that, but they're like, somebody can walk like in the worst place imaginable and be like, man, you know what this place needs is a comedy show. You know,
where are some of the weirdest places you perform comedy at?
Oh Lord. You know, there's one gig that I will never, ever forget. I mean, I've done stuff and stood in wrestling rings where wrestlers wanted to beat me up, hated me. And at wrestling shows, they don't give a damn about nothing else except wrestling. That's all they want to see.
Yeah, I can see that.
The fans were, you know, but probably one of the creepiest gigs, me and another comic, we were on our way out to a town called Crossville, Tennessee. And I can't even remember the name of this bar, but I'm not lying to this stuff either. I'm not making none of this up. This is how this crap went down. She got the gig. She set this gig up and I was opening for her. And she was a fantastic comic. I don't even think she's doing comedy anymore, but she was a fantastic comic. But we get there and the doorman, this is some bar out in the middle of nowhere, Tennessee, keep running Tennessee, you know, some place like that, some place you don't want to stop. So we get to the door though, and it was a little person was the doorman, but he didn't have no tongue. I don't think he had to talk to people. I don't know, but he just, you know. So I was like, all right, you know, and I looked over at her, at Christine, and I was like, really? Really? You know, so then we get in this place, and man, oh, hell. Okay, it's like inside this room, it's almost like everybody who was in this bar was like written. You know, it's like you.
Written.
yeah. they were written, these were characters written, a staff made y'all up, because there ain't no way there's real people. I mean, you had like these crazy, grungy, rednecky kind of people. Then you had I remember there was this one dude that looked like Johnny Unitas, had like a flat top, looked like somebody wouldn't have no business being inside this bar. But anyways, we had to perform right next to the stripper pole, because there was a stripper pole in there. And the owner, he's the only one watching the show. Well, really, there was this pregnant woman too. She was smoking, pregnant, drinking, you know.
Perfect. And, that sounds beautiful.
Horrible. But I remember the owner sitting there on a chair, and he had some girl laying on him. And I remember doing my set and just being like, man, this is awful. Let me get done. But I'll never forget Christine. She stopped in the middle of her set, and she goes, sir, I think she's ready to be flipped over now. You know, I mean, that was hilarious. But this is the worst part. And after the show, which was just so god awful, I just wanted to get out of there, you know, alive. The host, he's like, hey, man, I got a great idea. How about you guys come up with a good joke, and Danny and Christine will vote to see who has the best joke, wins a $25 gift card, you know? And I was like, oh, God, no, dude. No, I don't want to hear any of their jokes. You know, I don't want to hear it. And I was kind of, I looked at Christine. I was like, hey, let's just give it to the mom-to-be, because she's going to need that money. And then Christine's like, why? So she can buy more Jack Daniels? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. So we wound up giving it to Johnny U, Mr. Flat Top. But, yeah, that was a weird-ass place. That was a really strange, strange one. But I got a lot. Hell, I could probably go to therapy and come back with a bunch of memories. Hell, who knows?
Yeah.
It's crazy, though, the way, you know, someone will think, you know, oh, this venue would be great for comedy. And, you know, it's not. Not all venues or places are good for comedy, you know?
So when you were talking and you said something about a stripper pole, I performed at a strip club in Greenville. That was interesting. I have done a show at a nursing home before. That is probably one of the most interesting shows I've had. You don't tell any jokes. They do not come from, they don't even know why they're there. Like, you are literally just talking to them and engaging with them and just like finding a way to put a smile on their face, because it's no jokes. And like, I think as a true entertainer, you really, whether you can navigate through those spaces or not, says a lot about you. So
I've done those nursing homes. I've done them. And it is. It's a, there's sometimes you can walk away feeling good, and then there's times you kind of feel bad, because, I mean, not about yourself, but about some of them who are just in there alone, you know?
Yeah. So,
but yeah, those aren't easy, but you know, it builds character, Jazz, those kind of
things. It does. It really does. And I don't know. I feel like anything that builds you up is necessary.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand why you're doing it, but anything that can elevate you to the next level and bring up your craft, like, is necessary.
All those things are little notches under your belt that you get, you know, and hopefully there's people who get better based off of experience. And then just like with anything, though, there's some people who, no matter how many dang gum pies in the face they get, they don't ever get better. You know, we all know some of those people.
And those are the people you're just like, who, you are a go-getter. You never give up.
I think, I don't know, man. I always try to be a realist. And I think the best thing that stand-up comedy has taught me and teaches anybody, if they're really trying to learn, is being humble. And yeah, you know, and self-awareness and being humble, because, you know, that's just, man, that comes with the territory with comedy. It does. It really comes with the territory.
And if you're not humble, you will be humbled. Oh, you will be humbled in the most unexpected. I remember, I'll never forget, I actually have, like, on a sticky note right beside my refrigerator, it's a sign that I handwrote, and it was like, remain humble, never become that person. And it's just like, sometimes you just have to remind yourself, because, like, there's never a reason to feel like you can never get knocked down, because you can always get knocked down. I remember the first time I ever won a competition at the Comedy Zone. And I was like, oh my gosh, I won a competition. I was on like such a high. And I went to the cookout and I ordered a large cheerwine. And as soon as I was coming through the doors of the house, white carpet, I spilled the cheerwine everywhere. And when I say everywhere, instantly, I was like, well, that just wiped away all my
You know how excited you gotta be to try to hold on to that while you're scrubbing a carpet, trying to get your tear wine, like, and it went, like, it literally went across the room on stuff, like, it went everywhere, and I'm just like, it was the largest cup you can get at cookout, full of tear wine, and I'm just like, you know what, it ain't even never that important to just be that happy about something, because God will humble you quickly. Who would have thought tear wine would have been the one thing that was like, hey, get it together.
That's cool. So, well, it's no surprise that you won a comedy contest. Now, do you still enter them now, or do you kind of? I quit. I never was a big fan of comedy contests. Went back in the day.
Yeah. So, between like 2018 and 2019, I was winning them pretty like a lot, and I was like in 2020, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna step back from comedy competitions, because like in Greenville, I had won the comedy competition at the Comedy Zone 2 years in a row. And it's like, okay, I won it. Let some, like, I'm not going to say let someone else get it, but you've already done that. So, you know, move on. And so it's like, you know what? I'm not going to do any more competitions around here. And then Corona was like, you surely won't be doing any competitions. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to go and just sit down. And was it like the beginning of February, a friend forwarded me like a Greenville's Got Talent letter. And I was like, you know what? I can just go audition and see if anything comes out of it. And I went and like I ended up winning it. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. That's so dope. I wasn't even planning on doing anything, but we're not in 2020 anymore. So it's time to like get back on the grind. And it's crazy because the same day as I was winning, like Greenville's Got Talent, America's Got Talent, and they wrote me and they was like, yeah, your video was not what we were looking for. And I was like, okay,
I'm sorry. Really?
Yeah.
Was that just recently? Just recently?
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, okay, like, thank you. I'm honestly one of those people, I believe, like, whatever I'm supposed to have, it's gonna work out for me. If I'm supposed to be on America's Got Talent, I would be there. I was supposed to do the Greenville thing, I would be there. So when she told me that, I was like, that was right before I went on stage too. So right before I went on stage, I don't know why, but someone was like, read your email, Jazz. You're just standing here, check your email. And I was like, I should have never read my email before I did that, but.
I try not to do stuff like that. I try not to read my email, text messages, or I don't open Facebook right before I go on stage.
Now I know, Danny. Now I know. It's like,
yeah. One little thing, because then you'll have to, you know, you'll have to, I hate to say fake it, but you'll have to go, because you have, I mean, there's times, man, that I've had shows and I feel like hell, I don't feel good, but if you go out there dragging that crap out on stage, they're going to pick up on it, and there it goes, you know, so.
I had an event happen in January. It was like a tragic event. And I was set to perform a couple days after I found out about it. And I could not pull it together to perform. Like, I just could not pull it together to perform. And so that night, I didn't host the show. And it was like a celebrity show at the Comedy Zone. Like, a sold out crowd, awesome opportunities. And like, I just could not pull it together. And when I got, like, I was embarrassed for weeks about it, like, in my feelings, just feeling bad, feeling down. And then one day, I was like, you know what? If I would have got up there and performed and not been able to pull it together and broke down in front of a crowd, none of them would have cared what I would have had going on. It would have just came off as I'm bringing sad energy to my show. None of them know. And it's like, sometimes you just got to protect yourself and your image. I would have much rather not went on stage and missed out on the opportunities than versus going on stage and I can't even hold it. I can't give my all. I'm half giving you guys a show, and this is your first time seeing me, so this is what you think the best I have to offer. It's not worth it.
And nothing's worse than that too. When you know that you can do so much better, and you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think that's sometimes you got to make that choice too. You know, you got to say, hey, I can't do it right now. You know, and of course you don't want to do it if you can't, you know, be 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's those audience members, they didn't come there to hear about your problems. They didn't pay to hear why you're sad. They don't care. They came here to be entertained. So if you can't, out of respect for just the audience and out of respect for the comedy and the stage, like, if I know I can't pull it together, I don't feel like I should be performing.
Yeah. Well, hopefully though, you'll be able to, you know, you won't be down that road again.
Oh yeah. No, we're definitely not trying to go back. There are like things eventually, you know, time helps and stuff end up getting better, and I'm back.
Good. Definitely.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, this is a tough job. It's a tough thing to do. It is. It's, you know, how you talked about, you know, like with AGT getting that rejection. Man, I've got so many told no so many times. And I'll never forget a person one time asking me, Danny, how do you handle rejection? And I was like, you know, man, I've been rejected more than you could imagine.
Yeah.
You know, I get told no a heck of a lot more than I get told yes. And it's just something. And you know, it never does ever feel good. You never be like, oh, this feels good. And there's sometimes, man, some days you're just like, you know, man, why do I do this? But, you know, you keep getting back up and until you hear a yes.
You have to. You have to, like, comedy and like the entertainment field, what we're in, it's already like a solitary game. Like, we're basically pushing ourselves forward, and just like, we have our support teams, but when we're on stage, it's us, and it's only us. So all those rejections and no's and not this time or maybe next time, you just gotta use that as fuel to your fire and keep going. Like, I think sometimes so many people look at it as just, oh, you're so successful. And it's just like, now, but did you see, like, when people were telling me, you did this wrong, or you need to work on this, or this, and that. And it's like, you have to work on your craft. You have to evolve to become better, to level up. So those no's help. They really do.
They do. And you know, what I do, and this is what I suggest everybody do, is when I do, if I get told no on something that I'm wanting to do, I'm like, man, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to make you regret that. You know, I'm going to make you regret that. So, and I mean, I'm talking about, like, sometimes there's corporate gigs that, you know, I'll throw my hat in on, and I'll throw my price, and I don't get, and they may go with a cheaper entertainer or something, I don't know, but I'm going to be like, man, you made a bad move. We could have partied. We could have partied.
We could have shimmied all night long. We could have shimmied all night long, but you made this decision, buddy.
You made the call. You made the call.
You made it. Yeah.
Let me do this. So I don't know if we talked about this last time we talked, but what comics inspire you? Who are your like, dead, alive? Who
okay. Else? Deep down in my heart, I feel like Bernie Mac is like my comedy godfather. Like, is his interview, and I'm one of those people, like, if I'm drawn to your craft, like, I'm already attracted to your style and stuff, but if you can touch me through an interview, like his interviews and just listening to him talk and his work ethic and just how he embodied everything, like, I love Bernie Mac, and like, I feel like I learned so much from him. Like, one of my favorite sayings that he said in an interview one time, he was like, you know, do what you do because of your love for it, and like, never do it for money. If you do it because you love it, the money will find you. And when I say that is one of the truest things that he has ever said, I'm not rolling in cash or anything, but I'll be lying if I said company didn't help me out some financially. Like, it, and it's not me going out seeking the money. It's me actually going on stage trying to have like a good time with the audience, and it just been paid for. So he is, I'm very inspired by him. Your Lunel, I think Lunel is so underrated, and I love her because sometimes people are like, oh, when should we be talking about that? Lunel does not care what she says on stage. Like, she's saying it and she's gonna say it with her full chest, 10 toes down. And it's just something about that, her realness and like just her energy she brings to the stage. Like, I admire it. Monique, some more, Richard Pryor, old school Kevin Hart.
Old school, yes. Old school.
Yeah, old school Kevin Hart. Like, not to take away from anything he's done now and his accomplishments. He just entertained me more before I started doing comedy. Now that I've actually like been doing comedy now, I stopped watching other comedians. I used to, yeah, like I remember being in like high school and middle school and like all my sisters are downstairs watching Lifetime and I'm upstairs watching Comedy Central. Like, I used to watch comedy specials all the time. Like, I've always, Comedy Central was one of my favorite channels. And it's like, once I started doing comedy, I stopped watching specials. I stopped watching stand-up. I didn't want to get influenced by anybody. Like, I was just looking for my own voice at first. And then it's just like, no, I don't want to watch them. I don't want to.
And, you know, people don't understand that. But, you know, I don't watch the stand-up specials and stand-up. I don't watch it because,
yeah.
I mean, I think for one, the biggest thing as a fear is that you do not want that. You don't want their comedy to pollute your subconscious. So you don't want to be like, oh man, I came up with this awesome joke. Wait a minute. Did somebody else come up and say that? Oh no, you know.
I can't tell you the last Dave Chappelle special I watched, but I was talking on the phone with a friend of mine, and he's a gay man, and we were talking about how like gay people were just taking all the letters because at this point they had just added the QIA. And I was like, I'm gonna start calling y'all the alphabet soup people. We're on the phone just laughing, having a giddy time. A couple months later, I hear the alphabet soup and I'm just like,
yeah.
Now,
well, there's that parallel thinking.
Yeah, but I can't go out there and tell. I cannot go out there and talk about alphabet people because no one's gonna believe that I had this phone conversation with a friend months before Dave Chappelle, and then it's like,
yep, that's true. And like, if Dave Chappelle tells a joke, you're gonna have to. You can't tell it no more. You cannot, because yeah, you can't. But parallel thinking is a real thing. It is. Now, I'll say this. If it's word for word for word, come on, man. You know?
Yeah. Parallel thinking and thieving are two totally different things.
We had a comic in the Knoxville comedy scene back in the day who, I mean, he was just a little open micer. And he, you know, he was horrible. Kid sucked. God, he was awful. And then one day he just disappeared. And next thing you know, this mofo is on the Tony, gosh, what is his name? I can't even think of the dude's name, but he has this big show, the Kill Tony show. Comics go out to LA and stand out forever to get on the show. But anyways, this dude got on the show and he did another comic from Knoxville, Sandy Goddard, did Sandy's whole shtick word for word. And he was getting laughs and people were laughing and eating it up. And then we're all freaking out back here in Knoxville. We're like, there's Dusty, this guy.
Hey,
it was horrible. But we wound up getting a hold of some comics out in LA who called him out. So they want you exactly. But it was awful the way he just ripped it and stole it, you know.
Cool. I was thinking about this the other day because there have been Greenville comedy scene, isn't it? That large, and there have been times where I would say something like something that I say at every other show. I see another comedian saying the exact same thing. I see another comedian doing the shimmy. I see another comedian with the same mannerisms. I see it, and I went up and I was like, "Hey, we can't be doing the same stuff on stage. Like, it looks like something, it looks like one of us is taken from each other, and we're on a lot of the same shows together. We cannot be doing the same stuff on stage. And it got to the point where me and this person were on a similar show, and my mom was like, y'all sort of kind of favor each other on stage. And just yesterday I was thinking about this, because I was sitting in my car and I was like, it's really disgusting of you to try to steal another comedian's work. That's like me going to steal a Van Gogh painting and being like, well, I wrote my name on it. It's mine. And it's like, no, this is a Van Gogh painting. Like, just because you wrote your name on the bottom of it does not mean it's yours. And I think it's very, it shows your lack of imagination if you're stealing other people's material.
Your lack of talent, everything. I hate it. If I ever see anyone, you know, lifting stuff or stealing stuff that I know is not them, I call them out dead on the spot.
Yeah.
Now, I will say that's one thing in stand-up comedy, comics, even though it does happen in comedy, but at least most comics will go shame that person when they find out they're stealing material.
You should be shamed if you're going around stealing someone. I've even had a comic say that it's okay if you steal someone else's material if you tell it better than they do.
No, and I'm just, no.
Wow. Wow.
No, it ain't. You know, I mean, I've had, there's things, just like, you know, with magic, no magician is going to invent a new magic trick, but yeah. what they do, a good magician will take that magic trick and make it his own or her own. You know what I mean? Put their own, like when somebody covers a song.
Yeah.
If they make that song their own, you know what I mean? By the way they sing it, by the way they perform it. You know what I mean? So that's what a good, but in magic though, you got thievery left and right. Magicians will sit back and see something and be like, oh, I like that. And they'll lift it too. So I get it on both ends, you know?
Can I just take a second and say how much like I appreciate your magicry? Like, how would I say that? Your whole skill set. I appreciate it so much. Like, so you are the first magician that I think I've ever really like seen. And, you know, like, I'm not gonna say, we're quick on our feet. So we're like, people can't get over on us too fast. And I remember like being, I wasn't quite sitting behind stage, but it was like a couch right there when you were on stage. So like, I could see the audience, but I could still sort of kind of see behind your stuff. And I'm like, I'm gonna catch him. He think he's slick. I'm gonna find out exactly what he's doing. He's not gonna pull the wool over my eyes. I watch YouTube videos exposing magic tricks all the time. He's not gonna get over on me. And I am sitting there and I'm like watching you like a hawk. And I can't even remember what you did, but you did something and I went. I've been watching him the whole time. Like I didn't take my eyes off him. How did he do that? And I'm just like, oh, that's how people get cheated on right in front of them. Don't even notice it. Cause I was watching you, like, I was like, he's not gonna get me. He's not about to get me. And I'm watching you, and I'm like, I remember sitting on the couch going, this man is good.
You are too kind. Thank you, Jazz.
You are phenomenal. And you ate them up that night. The audience, oh my gosh, you ate them up that night. When I say that was a great show, and Waxhaw, North Carolina. Yeah.
Well, hey, you made me work. You made me work because you came out there and you brought it. You brought it. You had them peeing in their pants.
Oh, yeah. You know, a lady came up to me the other day and she was like, we were in the bathroom. And she came out of the bathroom. She was like, you, I peed my pants. And I was like, there are cloth seats in there, man. Where were you sitting at? So I know not to sit in that chair, you little pissy lady. Like,
that's a compliment, but it's we
get the weirdest compliments.
Oh yeah.
What other profession can someone be like, I pissed my pants?
You're like, and yes.
I'm killing it.
Okay, I tell you what, because you brought up some magic, so I'm gonna try to do a magic trick for you.
Okay.
Here we go. We're going to try on the Abracadam podcast, Jazz. We're going to try to do some mind reading. Think of one of these cards. Just think of one. You got one?
I got one.
All right. It's in your head. Okay. I'm going to lose the cards in the deck. I'm going to shuffle, mix. All right. Yeah. Here we go. I tell you what, I'm going to hold the deck up here. I'm going to give the deck a cut. I'm going to obligate myself, okay? So I can't cheat, okay?
Okay. Okay.
Here we go. I'm going to cut right here. Now, this is where I'm at, okay? Now, for all the listeners who can't see this, they can only hear this. So right now, I've got a deck of cards. I have cut the deck of cards to a card. Jazz, what is the card you're thinking of?
A Queen of Hearts.
The Queen of Hearts. Ladies and gentlemen.
Sir, get the fuck out of here.
The Queen of Hearts, yes.
Oh, I love it, and now I love it so much.
Oh, man.
You are phenomenal. Like, oh, yeah, I love it. Like, I love it. I don't know how you do what you do.
But I was trying to make you pee your pants, so.
I didn't pee my pants. I'm sorry.
Well, I tell you. Oh, man. I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Let's find out some. Let me ask you this, because. So right now, it seems like a lot of things are kind of happening, especially for female comics. And I've never been a person to separate male, female comics. I just say comics because that's what you are.
Appreciate it.
And damn, but there just happens to be a lot of solid female comics. Really funny female comics. Now, as far from kind of like what you're seeing right now, are you seeing, do things look like they're getting better though in stand-up comedy for female comics? Or are there anything progressive, anything happening?
And from my point of view, I feel like people are starting to take us a little bit more serious. I know when I first started doing comedy, people used to think it was cool to tell me like, I've never met a funny female before. And I'm just like, we exist. Like, we are out here. And like, I've had dudes tell me a girl has never made me laugh before. I have had men coming up to me and be like, I didn't think you were going to be funny, but you're funnier than the guys. And I didn't think girls were ever going to be funny. And I'm just like, you do know a penis does not make you funnier than like the average person. Just having a song doesn't automatically mean you're going to be funny. And me having a hole where your song is does not mean that, oh, she is lacking that funny bone. I guess they think a dick really is a funny bone. Like, I'm guessing.
Oh, my God, that is hilarious.
Like a funny bone. And I'm just like, no, we can be funny too. And I know when I first started doing comedy, I was going up and down the hallways in my apartment and I was like, I'm gonna be one of the greatest female comedians in all time. And I just kept screaming that going up and down the hallway. And then I was walking and I stopped and I was like, no, I'm gonna be one of the greatest comedians of all time. Like, female, male, I don't care. Like, I'm gonna do what I need to do. I don't, for me, being a female and being funny, I don't know why it's different. Like, I'm just doing what I know how. And I think some people are just like, oh my gosh, you shouldn't be talking like that. You're a lady. And I'm like, but I am. Like, I'm saying whatever I want to say. So when I say men, like, men are, I didn't realize that comedy was a male-dominated thing. I didn't realize that until, like, one day I was just looking around. And I was like, am I on the show because I have boobs? Like, because I am I'm always the only chick on the show. But in the area where I live in, Greenville doesn't have many female comedians. Like, currently, we probably have 4 to 5 active female comedians in the Greenville scene alone. And, like, Charlotte, Charlotte's like my second family home, and there are so many like females there doing things, not only comedians, but producers. One of the top producers in the Charlotte area is Lauren Anson. She's a female, like, and she's all about like women empowerment and just putting women on stage and just giving us our voice. So I'm thankful for it. There's also like a women's group on Facebook run by Malika Scott Rogers, and it's just all about women empowerment. And I just want all the ladies out there to know, like, comedy is a safe space. It does not matter if you're a male or female. Are you funny? Like, are you funny? None of that other stuff matters. Your race, how you look, your sexuality, your education, none of that stuff matters. Like, at the end of the day, are you entertaining?
I agree. That's
all that matters. So I'm coming for everybody, male, female. I'm coming for everybody.
That's awesome. And I think you got a bright future ahead of you. I do. Okay. Well, let me ask you a tough question.
Okay. I'm going
to come at you with a tough question. This is a tough one. Okay. Actually, here. I'm going to ask you two cancel culture questions.
Okay.
If you had to cancel one, which would it be? Your Netflix account or your Hulu?
I don't currently pay for either one. So I'm going to say Hulu because that's the one I use the least right now. But both of them can go, in my honest opinion. I have a hard time picking out what to watch. Like, I don't know about everyone else. I spend 45 minutes trying to figure out what to watch. It's too much to choose from for me, personally. Like, they need I need the slim fast version of Netflix. Like, I need the slim. They are giving me big bitches on Netflix. I'm so sorry about that, but they are giving me big girl energy. They are giving me big girl energy on Netflix, and I don't need all that in my life. I need a slim chick with just the slim little category of stuff. It's too much. And I'm looking at my Netflix account like, that's a big girl.
There's so much to you can't. It's almost like when you start looking at the you know, number one in the country right now, number two, and you're just like, what's this? There's so much to choose from. Remember back in the day whenever, hell, you had to wait like you had to hope you saw it at the theaters, and then you had to wait like an eternity for it to come to the Blockbuster. I mean, you know,
and don't wait for it to hit TV because your parents want to take you to Blockbuster and you got something to do that day. And you catch the last 5 minutes of Jurassic Park because you've been waiting for it to air on TV for 7 years. And you're just like, this ain't it.
Oh, yeah. You know, like whenever it finally, we like, it'll go to HBO. But if you didn't have HBO, you had to hope, like, you know, 5 years later that it would come to like regular TV, and then it's all watered down and edited. And it's not like the real.
It is nothing like, it's like your parents saying, we got McDonald's at home, but they give you like. Yeah,
that's what it was. It was the McDonald's at home version.
And you just sitting there like, I don't want this.
But, and that's the other thing is, like, now no one ever misses anything. See, back in the day, if you weren't there at 8 o'clock when it was on,
then yeah,
you missed it.
Nowadays with social media, you don't even have to watch it. Do you know I have a whole set about Tiger King and I have not seen 1 minute of Tiger King?
Oh my just God, you haven't media. Seen Tiger King.
Never, just from social media, I have been able to build a whole set off of Tiger King and never seen 1 minute of it. So we are living in some weird times right now. Like,
that's crazy. That was the one thing that I could not stop watching. Once
really?
We started watching that, I was glued. I had to see what happened at the end, the Tiger King.
I just know Joe hates Carol Baskins, and she is responsible for the pandemic.
You know, that poor guy thought Trump was going to pardon him before he got out. That's.
And I feel like Trump was letting everyone else go. You get a pardon. You get a pardon. Joe Exotic.
Not you.
What is he in jail for?
I can't remember. It was dude, he had some like a lot of bad, crazy crap going on with those animals. He was treating those animals like hell. It was
horrible. Well, he deserves to be what he is then.
Yeah. He's not a good guy. He's he's definitely not a good dude. Well, let me ask you this. This is a more now this right here is actually a more serious question. This is a more serious question, and I think it's a thought-provoking question, and I don't think it's easily answered. I found it difficult to answer whenever I thought of it.
Okay.
Now, we all know 2020 was a horrible year, awful year, and hopefully 2021 is going to be better. So far, so good. Things are looking up. But, Jazz, if you could go back to any year you wanted to go, knowing what you know now, but if you mentioned a word about the future, you would drop dead immediately. Would you go? And what year would you go to?
The way I talk, because I always planned on going back in time and releasing all the latest Beyonce albums. Like, that's always my goal, to go back in time and be like, if you like it, then you should put a ring on it. They're like, have you heard this new hit from Jazz? People are like, Beyonce, you. Like, so I don't know. That's a lot of pressure to put on someone. Like, I would probably be dead instantly as soon as I went back into, like, I'd probably go back to like the 1980s because they seem like they partied hard in the 80s. And I'm there and I'm just like, yeah, in 2020, we.
This girl says she's from the future, man, but she just died. Yeah. So
she just died. So it was the LSD, it was the acid, whatever, micro dots, whatever they used to take back in the day. Like,
I feel like everybody did blow. It was cocaine was blow.
See, I don't like a runny nose, so I don't know how well I would do with like. Recreation, other drugs and stuff. Do you know, like, I've had someone, now I don't know about you, but have you had like someone offer you stuff after the show? Like, you know, we're entertainers, and so people are like, hey, you want some weed? And I'm like, no, I'm fine, thank you. Hey, you want some liquor? You know, I'll take a shot with you. You want some cocaine? And I was like, I'm fine, thank you so much for offering. I don't, thank you so much. And I'll walk down the street as fast as I could. Like, the cocaine was going to be in my pocket or something. I was like, I feel like as soon as I say yes to cocaine, the police are going to be like, whoop.
Yeah, that, what, trust me, yeah, you get a lot of interesting people. That also reminds me of another gig, a story real quick. But I mean, after a show, I've met some straight up weirdos too. But yeah, they'll offer you everything.
Yeah.
That was one time I did a private show at, I should have brought this up. I did a private show at, it was like an old, they were like senior citizens, but it was like a swinger party. Yeah. And I didn't know until, but when I was doing the show, I was looking around. when I did the show, I was looking around and I was like, man, I thought she was with him. What's going on here? Because they kept swapping and moving around tables and stuff. And then at the end of the show, the couple came up and talked to me. And then the old lady, she was touching my butt, you know, after the show. And I was like, whoa. She's like, you want to hang around? And I was like, no, I got to go. I got to go. But yeah, that was definitely weird. But yeah, people will offer you anything.
I had been offered to be a part of, like, to go home with the couple. And I was like, can someone else walk me to my car? Like, please.
There's some freaks out there, man, that come to them shows, dude. There's some.
Oh, some freaks, some weird people. Like, one time after a show, I know earlier we were talking about, like, being a female comedian. And one thing I can say is, like, I think people do stuff to females that wouldn't dare, like, dude. I had a man come up to me after a show, and he would not stop hugging me. Like, he gave me a hug. He looked at me. He was like, you're amazing. Oh, my God. And just continued to hug me. And, like, I was trying to pull away, but he was, like, hugging me tighter to the point where security was like, you got to let her go. Like, you got to let her go. And I'm just like, okay, this is a creepy. Like, I've had even one show where this freaked me out. You know, we post up our shows where we're going to be. It was a guy who met me online, and he was writing me in my inbox to say, hey, how you doing? Simple stuff like that. I opened my door to go out to the show. He was standing right there. at my car door. As I opened my car door,
he was there,
right there at my car door. And I was just like, I'm a bigger girl. Like, I'm 6 feet tall. No one is just dragging me off easily. Like, you can still do it, but it's not going to be easy. And that freaked me out so much. And I was just like, you know, we're coming. We don't really want to carry guns and stuff with us, but people be out there showing their tails. You don't know how many times people have heard, like, a joke on stage, and they're like, I don't agree with that. Let's fight. And I'm just like, these are jokes. So...
That's really creepy. So, I mean, especially if when they're there waiting for you, stuff like that, that's, you know, that is weird. I mean, I get the occasional inbox message from a weird person sometimes, but the...
You tell them, me and your wife said, stay out of your inbox.
Yeah.
Me and the missus. You shouted her out one time at the show, like the only time I've ever seen you perform. And we were at a show, and you shouted her out, and it was so cool because she was just sitting at the table like, that's me. I'm the one. And I was like, I'm trying to be like that one day. Like, she is very sweet. Like, even her setting up your merchandise and stuff like that, I was just like, oh, is this what it's like to have a better half and be an entertainer? Because is Antoinette?
Yes, yes. She's awesome too. She comes with me to the majority of my shows, and she's behind the scenes. She helps with the merch and, you know, tells
she's
me
something real
sucks. So
yeah. She is definitely a real one. So shout out to her.
Absolutely. Big shout out to her. She's amazing. Well, I tell you what, Jazz, before we get out of here, do you got anything you want to plug? Where can people find you? Anything coming up? Any news?
You can find me on social media. I'm on Facebook, Jazz Gill. That's JASGILL, Jazz Gill. And I'm on Instagram, Jazz for Labs 24/7. Labs, JAS, the number 4, and Labs, LAUGHS 247. And other than that, I post majority of my shows on my social media account. It's always something coming up. So if you really want to catch me, just trying to branch out to different areas, and I'm just trying to make this world a little happier while I'm here. That's it. So thank you so much. Like, I don't think you know how much I really appreciate you and how much I admire you as a performer and fellow entertainer. Like, you are definitely, quick side note, I have a grandmother who just had her 79th birthday. She lives in Chicago, so she's never seen me perform, tell me. She still thinks I'm a magician. She thinks I'm a magician. And she will call me and she'll be like, I'm watching them do magic on stage and I just can't wait to see. I know, do you do your magic on stage? And I'm like, grandma, I tell jokes. And she's like in the process of transitioning. Like, her mind isn't as good as it was back in the day. But she just swears I'm a magician. And every time she tells me that, I think of you. I think it's hilarious because I love her so much. And I know everyone else knows I'm a comedian, but my grandma knows I'm a magician. I'm a magician. Right? And so I'm like, thank you, grandma.
That is hilarious. Oh, my God. I tell you what, Jazz, this has been so fun. I love talking to you. Every time I talk to you, I laugh. I tell you what, hey, I look forward to, we'll be, hopefully, eventually, we're going to cross paths soon. I know that I would love to get you at the Grove Theater maybe this summer or possibly fall. So
we're going to be there.
Absolutely.
Going to be there. So say no more. Like, we're going to link up. Everything's going to get back to normal. We're going to get back where we started.
Good deal. Once again, Jazz Gill, thank you for coming on the Abracadam Podcast.
Thank you for having me on the Abracadam Podcast.
All right, that does it for that episode of the Abracadam Podcast with the very funny Jazz Gill. Guys, if you get any chance whatsoever to see her perform, you don't want to miss that. It will be a treat. Be sure to check her out on Facebook, social media platforms with Jazz Gill Comedy. Like I said, she's a very funny stand-up, and you will not be disappointed. Also, I want to say thank you guys for following and subscribing to the Abracadam Podcast. And if you have not, be sure to spread the word. Let people know about the podcast, and thank you for listening and letting them know. I do got some show dates coming up soon, so stay tuned for some following episodes. I will be announcing those. And like always, abracadamits, thank you for listening.